and Jerry that I began to come here. And you know, and it's every visit is never the same twice, right? And every time I come here, it's the same story. There's faces I recognize and many faces I don't recognize. And I see, you know, this morning, this church is full. Lots of new faces, lots of young people, children. This church is just buzzing with activity and the influence of the Lord in this community. And so I feel it a joy and a privilege to be a bit of a part of that, to share a little bit with you as you have supported the work of Action in different ways. What happens with Action, and who knows, maybe someone here down the road, the Lord will touch you and say, I'd like you to go on a trip with Action. Go to one of the countries that we work in and serve, whether a few weeks or longer, whether it's a family or an individual or a group. As a matter of fact, I just came back 10 days ago from a week in Mexico. I went with a group, a Christian school, high school students, 16 to 18 years of age, down to Mexico for 1 week during Easter break to work in a children's camp on the Yucatan Peninsula. And that was a wonderful opportunity, working with the children, working with the young people, and the way they adapted. Most of them had never been overseas before. So they're going to a different culture, a different temperature. Most of the days were around 40 degrees Celsius every day. I came home to 2 inches of snow on my car, so it was quite an adaptation for me. But no, it was a great time to be serving the Lord in a different context, and maybe the Lord will do that for you. For those of you not familiar with Action, we're a ministry that started in the Philippines, working with street children, street families, in the urban squatter areas around Manila, the capital city. And since then, 50 years ago next year, we have broadened out to over 30 countries, almost 35 countries around the world, Africa, Asia, Latin America, and even in Europe. In various aspects through evangelism, which is always the number one, sharing the gospel of Christ with everyone that we serve, a discipleship, helping to disciple new Christian, new believers on how to live in, the Christian life. And then we have what we call the different programs that we also do, what we call development, whether it's education, medical, feeding programs, children's homes, all kinds of areas. And we all do it with the local church. We partner with the local churches in with the areas where we live to reach out to their people. You know, many of our missionaries, the majority of our missionaries are foreigners coming from a different country, and we're not going to be there forever. So we want to come alongside the local church to train them, to encourage them, to provide resources and other things they lack so that they themselves can go out and do what God has called them to do to reach their own people for Jesus Christ. And I've had the privilege over the last 25 years to travel overseas to see what God is doing through Action in these different countries. I've been to about a half a dozen of our fields so far, and we'll have to see down the road wherever the Lord takes me to go. So I just have a lot of information on the back if you want to find out more specifics about, you know, who we serve, where we serve, opportunities to serve. But a couple of booklets that we have on the back that was donated to our ministry, which I'm giving out free of charge, is actually bilingual tracts or booklets. This one is in Arabic and English, and this one is in Spanish and English, the Gospel of John. So if you know anybody speaks Spanish, speaks Arabic in the community or you meet up with, you can grab a few of these, take them home and hand them out. So that and so again, it's another tool that we can use to reach out to our neighbors and to others who, for instance, English might not be their first language, but maybe Arabic or Spanish is, so they can now read the Gospel of John in their own language. And that's something that we provide a lot of for people around the world that we work with. So keep that in mind. Like I said, I'll be here for a little while yet, so feel free if you have questions to ask, if you want to know more. I'd be happy to answer your questions. But, you know, it's one of those things wherever you serve, whether it's here in Whitecourt or Canada or a different country, God has a plan for each of us in where that is. Now, I met Daryl earlier today, and he said, I've never been out of Canada, never gone overseas. I don't even have a passport. Well, there's a lot of people like Daryl. God has never given them the need to travel overseas. I didn't start traveling overseas till I was almost 40 years old. My ministry was here in Canada amongst First Nations. And I did it for 20 years in Manitoba. And I was happy doing that. I was joyful doing that. Right? Happy, joyful. Got to learn the difference here. I was joyful serving the Lord there, and I was willing to do that the rest of my life, but God tapped me on the shoulder after 20 years and said, now I want you to go over here and do this. I want you to go overseas. Oh, okay. Got to get a passport. And so then that began my journey in an overseas capacity about 25, almost 30 years ago. Anyway, and I meet people, strangers, and they ask questions. Are you a Christian? What do you believe? This is what I believe. Why do you believe that? People here in Canada, same thing. Ask me the same kinds of questions. About a dozen years ago, we got a phone call in our office. Our office is situated in Calgary. And our administrative assistant answered the phone. And she calls over to my office. She says, would you take this call? Sure. She didn't say who it was. Picked up the phone. This young man says, my name is Andrew, and I'm a Muslim from Egypt calling you on Skype from Egypt. Oh, I wasn't expecting that phone call. And he began to ask me some questions about the Christian faith. He says, I've read this in the Bible. Why does it say that? And one of the questions he kept coming back to was, if Jesus was the Son of God, why didn't he tell people he was the Son of God? So, as I began my 1.5 hour conversation with this Muslim fellow, I shot up a prayer to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, use the Holy Spirit in me to help me know what to say, how to say it, and use the Word of God, wherever those passages might be, that could help answer his questions. And as we talked, because I was not prepared for this in the normal sense, scripture verses that I had memorized from years ago began popping in my head. So I would say, okay, do you have a Bible with you? He says, yes, I do. I said, okay, turn to John 8:58. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And I go to these different verses and passages that I had learned in my previous years. And I began to share the truth of the scriptures with this fellow. Now, I'd be wonderful to say that he came to faith in Christ after that conversation, but he did not. After an hour and a half, he says, I think it's time to end our conversation. You haven't convinced me, and I haven't convinced you, but we agree to disagree. And then I left. When we left the conversation, I just asked the Lord, Lord, take what our conversation was today, the Bible verses that I've put in his heart, that they will continue to speak to him down the road, that maybe one day he will understand those verses clearly and come to faith in Christ. And that's kind of what I want to share quickly with you is, do you know, as a follower of Christ, not only what you believe, but why you believe it? You see, it's not enough just to know what we believe. When we're little children, that's enough. When the parents, your parents or your pastor, your Sunday school teacher says, well, this is what you believe. The Bible says this. God says this. And they'll take it as fact. And they'll believe that. But as you get older, you know, into adolescence and up into adulthood, you kind of want to know a little more about, well, why do we believe that? Why is the Bible to be believed? Why do we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? All those kinds of questions. And you might meet people who will throw those questions at you. Could be in a phone call, could be on the street, someone knocking at your door, who have a different way of believing, a different faith. How would you respond? How would you be able to explain, or what we call defend, your faith to others? The reason why I ask this is because nowadays Christianity is on the defensive. Christianity is not seen as a very acceptable belief system, even in our own country. It's being attacked and demeaned and said it's irrelevant, it's no good anymore, these other beliefs are better. So how do we respond to that? And that is a word we call apologetics. Now, when I first heard that word, I thought I meant apology. But no, it doesn't mean that. It comes from a Greek word that means to defend what you believe. So you give a defense. Okay, why do we believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, to have our sins forgiven? Well, you need to understand this. How often do you read the scriptures? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." Do you correctly understand the scriptures that you read? Do you correctly understand why you believe what you believe? That's why it's so important in Psalm 119, verse 11, when it says, "I have hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you." How do we hide God's word in our heart? Through studying the scriptures, reading it, meditating on it, and memorizing it. So we have verses within us. So when someone like an Andrew comes along, the Holy Spirit can begin to draw those Bible verses and passages you memorized to your remembrance. If there's nothing there, there's nothing to bring to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is the other part of the equation. Like I said, when I began my conversation with Andrew, I realized that I might be a bit out of my league because 12 years ago or so, I didn't know a whole lot about the Muslim faith. I've never met a Muslim before. So I asked the Holy Spirit, "You know what I need to tell him. And so you need to put that in my mind so that what comes out of my mouth in our conversation is what you want." And he did that because that's what the Holy Spirit's here for. John 14:26, Jesus said, "You know, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." So the things that you're learning through Bible study, through meditation, through the pastor's message, all of those things will come back to you. But you need to know yourself and be confident within yourself that what I believe is the truth. What about the Bible? The Bible is probably the most attacked book ever in the history of mankind. Why? Because Satan knows that if we can question the Bible, then the whole Christian faith can come into doubt. So we need to know and believe that the Bible is the truth. It's the Word of God. It's not myth. It's not out of date. It's not man-made. The Bible says specifically that while men wrote what's in the Bible, the Holy Spirit was standing right behind them, making sure that what they wrote was the truth. So this is what we call God's Word. God used men to write His Word so that we have a resource to know what is the truth, what is what we should believe, and what should we not believe. Are we teaching our young people not only what to believe, but why they should believe it according to the Word of God? So statistics and studies have shown that many young people, by the time they reach college age, are walking away from their faith. And a lot of it is because they don't really understand why they believe what they believe. Because when someone challenges them, "Why do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Why do you believe the Bible is the truth?" They have no answer. They've not been taught. So we as parents, as the church, as leaders, we need to be training up our young people not only to know what is right, but why it's right. So they can be confident that their foundation in their faith stays strong when opposition hits them. And to be able to answer back to those individuals. Whether or not the other individual believes what you tell them is not as important as knowing that what you're telling them is the truth and you're confident in it. So you as parents, if you want your children to grow up to know and love the Lord through their life, you need to be sure that they have what they need to be confident in that, so that they will continue, as it says in Proverbs, that you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's a general principle that Solomon wrote, but that has a lot of very much truthful, that if we give our children, our young people, the right foundation of what their Christian faith is, what it's based on, why it is what it is, then they can have confidence to go into the world that is contrary to them and know that I will share my faith, I will be confident that I know what I believe and why I believe it, knowing what's in the Bible, memorizing scripture, understanding what we're learning, and they can then influence other people. Because a lot of people, when they challenge you, sometimes they're challenging you because they want to see if you really believe what you do. And if you come across that you confidently believe it, you know it, you understand it, and you stand by it, they'll have a respect for that. And they may even want to come around and know more. Because maybe they're looking for a way of life that has meaning that they don't have. And they see something in you, but they want to be sure that what they're seeing is what you really believe in. And when they see it is, then maybe they'll say, well, maybe I want to know more about what you believe. And we hear around the world, places like Iran and Egypt and other countries where people are becoming Christians in huge numbers because they're disillusioned with what they've grown up with. And they're looking for alternatives. In India, another place. And they're looking to Christianity as an alternative to the life that they presently have. But they need to know that what they're going to pursue in the Christian faith is worth it. We need to be ready, in season and out of season. And the last verse I want to leave with you is in 1 Peter. Where am I here? 1 Peter chapter 3. I better pull up my other eyes here so I can see what I'm reading. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, I'll leave this with you. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So it's important to be able to share with those who you meet, those who may confront you, why do you believe, and give the reason for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And it's a real hope. But why is it? Why are you so stuck on following Jesus? Why do you look only to Jesus? Well, here's why. The Bible says this. And the Bible is unwaveringly the Word of God. And I look into areas like archaeology and other outside the Bible proofs to show that everything that the Bible says has always been backed up by the facts. So we can depend on the Word of God, but we need to understand the Word of God. We need to read it, meditate on it, understand what it says, and memorize it, so then God can use it in us and in other people. So I hope it's an encouragement to do that. Look at yourself, and do I know the scriptures as well as I should? Do I study it on a regular basis? Am I memorizing verses in the Bible that help me to share with others what I believe, but also to know in my heart, this is why I believe what I believe? And be more confident in your faith, more confident in the God who created you, loves you, died for you, and wants the life that he's chosen for you here on earth and forever in heaven. And to share that with others that they may have what you have. Thank you.